Today's Shi'ez Masechta, Sanhedrin Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Dalad Amar Aleph on the second line. In our previous Shi'er, the Gemara had introduced the episode of Ochan, who, when Yeshua captured the city of Yericho, Yeshua had said that whoever takes from the Cherem, whoever benefits from anything from the city of Yericho, nobody's allowed to benefit. And Ochan did, and now the Pasuk says, Chot Yisrael, the Pasuk calls him a person who did an Aveira. Amar Abba Ba'azavda, what do we learn from this Pasuk? That Avpi Shechata, even if somebody has sinned, Yisrael who is still is considered a Yisrael. Amar Abba, and teaches us Rab Abba, Hanad the Kamri Inchi, this is what people say, Ask the Kai Ben Nechilfa, a Hadas, a rose, a nice fruit, a nice plant that grows amongst the rovis, asa shmeiv asa karle. It still remains an asa. In other words, whatever happens to a Jew, Rachman al-Tzlan, he remains a Jew under all circumstance. And as I saw, the Sefer Yismach Yisrael explains that what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that every Jew in his pnimius, every Jew in his heart is a Jew, and nothing could remove that special quality. Nothing could remove that special quality that exists to a Klal Yisrael. The halacha is, as we know, in order to daven b'minyan, we have to have a minyan of 10 men in order to say Kaddish and Kedusha. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that even a person who is a Baal Aveira and did different averus can be counted as one of the 10 men to complete the minyan. Says the Prima Gadim that this principle does not apply to somebody who violates averus of the Torah Lahachis, to spite Hashem. Somebody who, Rachman Tzlan, he says, worships Avodah Zarah, and somebody who is Michal Shabbos Beferesia. Any such individual, he says, is not counted of the part of the minyan. The Magen Avraham says also somebody who disagrees with the validity of the Torah Shabbat Peh is also not considered part, cannot be considered part of the minyan. The Rambam writes that although the Tzedakim, who were the first that did not believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, are considered mumrim, he says they're descendants are not considered mumrim. He says that children that come from those families are considered tinoikus shenizbu. And he says that even if they were informed at a different point of their life about what it means to be a Torah true Jew, says the Rambam, the fact that they were a nusim, the fact that they were born in such an environment, means that they're still tinoik shenizbu. And actually, the Chazon Ish says the same. He says that people who are not religious in our times are all considered tinik shenishba. That the fact that they were born in such an environment, that's what's preventing them from acting in a religious fashion. The Torah quotes an opinion that says a mumer or a meshumad, somebody who converted to a different religion, is regarded as a non-Jew with far as Kedushin is concerned. That means that if he would be Mekadosh, marry a woman, it's not considered a valid Kedushin, and there wouldn't even be a requirement for a get. The Torah and the Rambam disagree with that opinion, and they say that such an individual does Kedushin, halachically he's considered legally married, and to terminate that marriage, you have to have a get. And the Kiryas Sefer says that the basis for the Rambam's opinion is our Gemara. Af pi shechata Yisrael hu. He's considered a Jew under all circumstances. There are paiskim that suggest that Meshumid is not able to, the Hilchos Yerusha of inheriting doesn't apply to Meshumid. But again, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch disagree, and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both are of the opinion that even a meshumid is entitled to inherit the parent, And all of these opinions is all based on what we just learned in our Gemara, where our Gemara just taught us the Afpi Shechata Yisraelhu. The Beis Halevi, in explaining this Gemara, says that when we speak about something which is Hegdish, there are two types of Hegdish. There's something which has a Kedushas Haguf, something which is inherently Hegdish, and there's something which has Kedushas Domim. Kedushas Domim means that its value is Hegdish, but it's not inherently Hegdish. Example would be, if somebody is magdish an animal to be brought as a carbon, that animal has a Kedushas Haguf. But somebody donated something which its value will be used for Hegdish, that's something that has only Kedushas Domim. And he points out that when we speak about something that has Kedushas Domim versus something which has Kedushas Aguf, he says, when we're going to learn him, it's Shem Sech the Mila, the Aloch is that a moil achamoil, that somebody took something that has Kedushas Domim, and then he took it and he used it for his own personal use, it loses its status of Hegdish. By something that has Kedushas Aguf, the Aloch is, it retains its Hegdish status, even if it was used for a non-Hegdish purpose. Says the Beis Halevi, that's how we are to understand our Gemara. Api Shechata Yisraelhu, a Jew, even if Chas V'Sholem, he did an Aveira, the Aloch is that he retains his Kedusha. And the reason he contains the Kedusha is because under all circumstances, Api Shechata Yisraelhu. The Aruch HaShulchan says, based on this Gemara, there's another halacha that we can learn. And what's the halacha if Rahman Slan, there is a Kayin who is not acting the way he's supposed to act? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that just like we learned in our Gemara, Yisrael Api Shechata, Yisrael, even if he has Chas V'Sholem sin, Yisrael who? The halacha is the same halacha will apply by a Kayin. However, that there is one difference, says the Shach. The Shach says, we know that if Chas V'Sholem, a Jew does an Aveira, we have an obligation of Techacha, we have an obligation to try to get him not to do Aveira. But if somebody who's a Mumer, even though as we've been discussing in our Shir, he's still considered a Yisrael, explains the Shach, says the Shach, there's no Chiv of separating him, of Techacha, of separating from the Aveira. And the Shach that choose in Yitzchak, from Yitzchak Chanan Zatzal, explains, because that is the din of Arvis. Why are we so obligated to separate a person from doing an Aveira? Because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. This individual who no longer is acting in a religious manner, there's no Arvis. But he says that the Shach is difficult, because our Gemara, in identifying Achan, who certainly wasn't acting in a proper way, what does our Gemara teach us? That all of Klai Yisrael were punished because of what Achan did. But if we're going to say that there's no Arvis with a person who acts that way, why were all of Klai Yisrael punished? Seemingly, therefore, he says that the din, he says, not like the Shach, and he says the halacha of Arvis would even apply to people who are not religious. The pasuk says, "Chata Yisrael, v'gam avru esprisa shetzivisa isam, gam lochem and acherim, gam ganvu, gam kicheshu, gam sam bekaleim." Amar v'loim shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Sparta, melamed sh'ava ochan achamishuchem shetayra. Ochan violated all the halachas in the chamishuchem shetayra. Shenemar, because if we read this pasuk, we see the word gam appears five times. V'ama Rabbi Loim shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Sparta. Achan Moshech Barlosa Haya. Achan tried to cover up his brismila. He wanted to conceal that he had a brismila. Ksiv Hacha. In this pasuk, the pasuk says, "V'gam avras brisi." V'ksiv Hasam. And the pasuk, in describing an individual who doesn't have a brismila, the pasuk says, "As brisi hafer." Says the Gemara, "Pshita." Of course, that's obvious. Didn't we just learn that Achan violated all Chamishuchim Shetayra? And certainly having a bris milah is included in the Chamisha Chumshah Torah. Answers the Gemara, Ma the Tema, Memutsu the Gufei Loi Paket. Somebody who has a bris milah on his body, he didn't go so far as to try to remove the bris milah. Kamash Malan, that Achav was such a serious Rasha that even something like that, even the bris milah, which is on the body, and it's already part and parcel of the body, he tried to remove. The Chiyasa Nevala B'Yisrael, what does that mean? Says the Gemara Amra, Rab Abba Bazavda, Melamed Shabal Achen Nar Marasa. Achen had a relationship with a girl who was Marasa to a man. Ksiv Hachav Chiyasa Nevala, the Ksiv Hasam, regarding if the Torah speaks about a Nar Marasa who was Mazana, that had an adulterous relationship. The Pasuk says, Kiyasu Nevala B'Yisrael. Again, ask the Gemara, Pshita, didn't we just say that Achan violated all of the Torah? So if he violated all of the Torah, this is included. Answers the Gemara, Matatema, this is such a serious sin. The Kulei Hai, Loi, Paka Nafshe, he wasn't so depraved. Kamashma, he even did such a serious Avera. Ravina Amar, Ravina says that he didn't do something that serious. What it means to say is that kinar marasa the skila. The halach is that a nar marasa, if she has this adulterous relationship, is chayv skila. And what happened here is that he did averus for which she was chayv skila. Amalei reish kulusla rav kuhana. Rav Huna says the Gemara, the Resh Kusa said to Rav Huna, Ksiv, Ve'yikach Yeshua, as Ochen ben Zarech, Vasakesev, Vasaderes, Vasulashon Azov, Vespana, Vespanois, Vashari, Vaschamoroi, Vesoine, Vesoloi, Veskol Shaloi. So the question is, the Pasuk enumerates his entire family and asks the Gemara, Emhu Chata, if he was a terrible sinner, Bona, Ubenois of Machatu, why were his children punished? Amalei L'Tameich. Ask the Gemara, and let's ask a more fundamental question. And who chato, if he did these horrible sins, koyusrama chato, why the rest of Klai Yisrael didn't do averus? And the Pasuk says, the ksiv, the chol Yisrael aemoy, that everybody in Klai Yisrael suffered because of Achav. Elo l'ridoysam. The reason they were punished is that they should never again, chas v'sholem, violate a cherim. Hachinami, the family should learn, this should be a way that everybody should learn that they shouldn't do such averus. The Pasuk says, V'yisrufu oysam ba'esh, v'seklu oysam ba'avonim. Betarti, ask the Gemara, these are two different types of Mises Bezdin. Says the Gemara, so which one did they give? Omer Vina, it depended. What it meant is, haroilus reifa, anything that could be burnt, Kesev, Zav, Begadim, can't be stoned, so they're burnt. They were burnt. L'sreifa, Roy, L'skila. People who are Roy for Skila were given Skila. And the Pasuk says, Ve'era b'sholol, Aderish shina achas toiva, Omasayim shkom kesev. What was this wonderful garment that he saw? Rav Omer Isla de Milsa. It was a garment that was made out of wool, that as soon as a sheep has a baby, what it does is it licks it all up. It licks up its baby to make it perfectly clean, and then it's wrapped in garments to keep that wool perfectly white. And that's called an itzdel de milsa. The Shmuel Amar, sarbel de tzrifa, it's a type of a coat that was made with a color called tzrif. The Pasuk, the Gemara continues, what did Yeshua do with all of those objects that Achon had taken from the Sholol of Yerichai? The Pasuk says, V'yetzikum l'fnei Hashem. Amar Rav Nachman, Ba, what Yeshua did, came, v'choftam l'fnei Mokim, and threw him down on the ground. Amar l'fonav, v'baidish loylam, al'elu, for these garments, for these items, rubah, Tihara Grubish al Sadnan, should most of the Sanhedrin be eliminated? The Ksiv, Vyakmahem Anshi'ai Kishloisha Vashisha Ish, Vitanya, Shloisha Vashisha Mamish, there were 36 members of the Sanhedrin, 36 people died in that war. That's the opinion of the Rebbe Yehuda. Were there really 36 people? The Pasuk says it was like 36 people. El Zeh Yoab ben Menashe, it refers to Yoab ben Menashe, Shegodl Kenegi Ruba Shel Sanhedrin. We know, as we've been learning so extensively in our Shiurim, that the Rav of the Sanhedrin equal 36 people. And what the Gemara says is that Yoab ben Menashe was so prominent and was so great that when he said something in the Sanhedrin, it was equivalent as if the Rav of the Sanhedrin, which is the majority of the Sanhedrin, said something. And he was the one that died because of the Avera of Ochim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Maidik Siv, Tachnunim Yedaber Rosh, for Osher Yana Azus, Tachnun Yedaber Rosh, the Moshe. The Osher Yana Azus refers to Yeshua. My Tama, Ilay Meshiv Diksiv Yitzikon Fnei Hashem. Where do we see that Yeshua spoke? Where do we find, asked the Gemara, that Yeshua spoke so sharply? And the Yad Ramah explains why indeed was there a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. So Yad Ramah explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that brought so many nisim to Klal Yisrael. And therefore he was constantly concerned that because of the nisim, nismatu zuchiyosav, his merit, his status was diminished. And therefore he was always speaking like Rosh. He spoke in such a humble fashion. Yeshua, that at this point was not the one that had brought so many nisim to Klal Yisrael, was not concerned, and therefore he spoke in that way. The Mashah has a different explanation. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Pasuk calls him, that's why the Gemara calls him Rosh. The Gemara calls him as an individual who is weak. Yeshua, who had these chus that bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, that's why he spoke in a stronger fashion. Another pshat that I saw from the Yavetz is that we know that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the chus to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael because the way he spoke to Klal Yisrael, Shimon Amorim, he spoke to them instead of hitting, he hit the stone instead of speaking to the stone. And that caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be much more concerned about the way he spoke. My time, Ilay Meshim Diksev Yitzikon Fnei Hashem, where do we see that Yeshua spoke Azus? Because with the pasuk that we just learned, that Yeshua threw the objects that Ochran had taken of Yitzikon Fnei Hashem, Vamar Rav Nachman, Bob V'choftem L'fnei HaMokim, he threw them down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otto, says the Gemara, Otto Pinchas Le'avad Hachi, don't we find the same by Pinchas, V'ksiv, V'yamet Pinchas, V'yifalo, V'te'otzer Amagefa, V'amar Abelazel, V'yispalo Lo'y Nemar, the Pasuk doesn't use the regular word that's used for tefillah, which is V'yispalo, Ela V'yifalo, what does it mean? She'oso Pli Lo'yisim Koinoi, he argued Kaviyachol in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bo V'chiftam Al'fnei HaMokom, he threw Zimri in front of the Abish, in front of Hashem, Vamal von Rebarish Lalam, Alelu Yiplu Esra Ba Elf Misrael. Is this the reason that 24,000 Jews should perish? The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says there, V'yia Mason Magefa Abam V'esram Elf, Elamehacha. Where do we see that Yeshua spoke in a fashion that is considered strong? The Pasuk says Yeshua said after this Machemus Ha'ai that we just discussed, and where 36 people or your perished, the Pasuk says that Yeshua said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama havarta havir asa'am azay yardain. Why did you bring us over the yardain? Moshe, says the Gemara, but Moshe nami mei me'amar, Moshe also spoke that way. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama hareisu la'am azah, el mahacha v'loya alnu, if it would be better, v'neisha be'evar yardain. This was a statement Yeshua made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was a very sharp statement. The Pasuk says, V'yayim HaShem al-Yeshua, Kum l'cha, Lama zata noifel apanecha, Dorish Rav Shela, Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shelcha kashem al-hem. What you did is worse than what they did. Ani amarti, in other words, he blamed Yeshua for what had happened here. What does that mean? Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yeshua. Ani amarti, I said, v'hoi ba'avachem asayadim, tekimus avonim ha'elu, you should, as soon as you pass the Yardim, you should put up these stones on which you should write the Divrei Torah. Atem, v'chaktim shishim mil, and you waited for 60 mil. Har Grizim and Har Evil, where Yeshua did it, are 60 mil from the Yardim. And only there did he put up the stones. Says the Gemara, Bas the Nofik, after Rav Shela left the Beis Medrash, Okim Rav Amir Alei, Rav chose an Amira, as we know that when they spoke publicly, they would have an Amira with them. So Rav chose an Amira, and Darish Keshet Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Avdoi, Kain Tziva Moshe Yeshua, V'kain Osu Yeshua, Lehei Sedova Mekol Ashiya, Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Yeshua did everything that Moshe Rabbeinu had told him. There was nothing that he did wrong. Him came Matam Aloymer. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, what's pshat? How do we understand the words that we just read of Kum Lecha? Amalai, Ata Geramta Lehem. You were the one that caused the problem because you said that you everything should be a cheirim. Behind the Kamalei, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua, Boi, Ba'ai, when they came to the city of Ai, Basisil Ai Malka, Shasisil Yak Malka, you should destroy Ai. But the pasuk continues, Rak Shlolo Behemta Tavoizulahem. He told him, keep the Shalol. This approach that the Shalol should be non-touchable is not the approach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu found as a good approach. The pasuk says, as the Gemara just speaks about situations where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dissatisfied with what Yeshua did. So the Gemara speaks about a famous episode. The pasuk says, "V'hi b'yosh Yeshua b'yirichai." When Yeshua is b'yirichai, "V'yisa eina v'yar," and he picks up his eyes and he sees, "V'hine ish oimel negdoi v'char b'shlufa b'yodoi v'yelch Yeshua eila v'yomel ha'lona atom l'tzreinu." Who are you? V'yomel loy kanisa tzva Hashem. Atabasi, v'yipul Yeshua upon of arts of Yishtachu. And the Gemara describes this entire discussion. Explains the Mahecha of Hachi. How did Yeshua act this way? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Osel Adam Shitun Shalom Chaver Belela. One might not greet another person with the word Shalom, which is the Shem Hashem at night. The Cheshinen Shem Hashedhu. Maybe the person that you're meeting is a shed, and you're not allowed to greet a shed with the Shem Hashem. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam. Yeshua was confident that this individual was not a shed. The Kamalei, because the Malach who Yeshua met said to him, Ani Sar Tzva Hashem Atabasi. So if he used the Shem Hashem, it's a proof that he's not a Shem. But ask the Gemara for Dilma Meshakri. He said, Ani Sar Tzva Hashem, but who says what he's saying is true? Says the Gemara, Gemiri, we as bad as the Shadim are, we know the Loi Mafki Shem Shemayim Levatolah. They never use Hashem's name in vain. So if this shed used Hashem's name, then the halacha is you're allowed to, you can be confident it's not a shed. And that's why the Rishonim explain that he bowed down. How did Yeshua bow down? But only because he was confident that this individual was not a shed, he bowed down. And I saw that the Rishonim continued to explain that the reason Yeshua felt comfortable in bowing down is that this person spoke B'Shem Hashem. So some say he bowed down because of this individual. And some say he bowed down out of respect to the Shem Hashem that was used. And Amalei, the Malach says to Yeshua Emes, yesterday, B'taltim Tamid Sheben Abayim. You did not bring the Karma Tamid which brought Ben Abayim. And the reason it wasn't brought is even though the Kohanim did not participate in the war, but the Rishonim explained that the Aron was brought, that the Aron was not where it was supposed to be, And when the Aron is not where it's supposed to be, you can't bring the Karban Tamid. Other Rishonim say that the Karban Tamid was brought, but what happened was the Karban Tamid was not brought with all of the details that are required when the Karban Tamid is brought. That means you have to have representation, mamodus. You have to have representation of all of Klai Yisrael, and that representation wasn't there. V'achshev, that was in the afternoon when they bring the Karban Tamid. V'achshev, tonight, bitaltem Talmud Torah. You weren't learning Talmud Torah. And Rashi explains, how do we know that they violated two averis? Because the pasuk says, ata basi. Ata basi means that there's a choice, there's more than an averis that was violated, and we need to know which one. So now Yeshua asks him, Alezim ben Basa, which is the more serious avera for which you came? Amalei atabasi, on the avera that was violated now, on bitl toira. Says the Gemara Miyad, V'yolni Yeshua b'layla hu, b'tay chamachna. Yeshua, the next time he went to war, the pasuk says, V'yolni Yeshua b'layla hu, b'tay ha'emek, v'ama Rebbe, melamed shlon b'umke shalocha. He sat and learned. And the way the Taras Chaim explains this Gemara, it's not that Yeshua did not learn. Of course, Yeshua, if they weren't actually active in battle, learned. But what we learn from here is that he didn't learn bi'iyun. He didn't learn with all of the depth that's required in learning. And the next time, he corrected that. From here we see that Godel Talmud Torah Yosem HaKrabas Tamidim. The Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah. Shenemar Ata, as we just learned, Ata Basi. What we're learning from here, the Gemara Masech Megillah points out, that even though Talmud Torah supersedes everything else, but that's only Talmud Torah the Rabbim. If there's a question of bringing a carbon or a question of Talmud Torah, so Talmud Torah, the Rabbim supersedes it, but not Talmud Torah, the Yochid. That a carbon would precede it. From here we see that Liman HaTorah, the Chofetz Chaim says, is the most important element and the most important thing that we could do in a life. The Sefer, and I saw the Sefer Masa Lamelech explains, when we think about most mitzvahs can be only accomplished under certain circumstances. Some are by day, some by night, some require certain, you have to have a house to put up a mezuzah, etc. What makes Torah so unique is that Vagisa Bayom V'layla. Torah is not limited to any time, and Torah is not limited to any place. Wherever you learn, wherever you are, Atabasi, the Torah teaches us that Torah supersedes. And as I saw, the Sefer Cheshev Sefer says that here they were doing the very important mitzvah of Kibush Etz Yisrael, and they were in the middle of a war. It doesn't make a difference. And under all circumstances, what we're learning from here is how important it is to learn. But also what we learn from this Gemara, explains the Pelayoyitz, is that even as somebody who is able to learn, and he's able to learn bi'iyun, and he doesn't concentrate on learning in a way that he should understand what he's learning, that is also considered Bittul Torah. And the Beis Ephraim says it's actually a Gemara in Masechta Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Mevatlim Talmud Torah L'tzarech Kriyas Megillah. When it comes to hear the Megillah on Purim, then we are allowed to be Mevatlim Torah. So says the Beis Ephraim, I don't understand. Isn't Kriyas Megillah also learning Torah? So why is that called Bittul Torah when you go to hear the Megillah? This explains the Beis Ephraim. when somebody sits in shul and hears the Megillah, he's not really concentrating on understanding the Megillah. He's just listening to the words. And what we're learning in our Gemara is that Talmud Torah requires iyun, that you should understand. And that's why when somebody's just listening to the Megillah, it's called Bittul Torah. And I saw that Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlita in a Sefer Me'adim V'zmanim points out that if somebody is able to learn but he doesn't learn bi'iyun, or somebody is able to learn and he doesn't come from his learning to understand what the halach is, that's considered Bittul Torah. But on the other hand, he says, if somebody just spends his entire time while he's learning on saying svaros and saying different concepts, but he doesn't come to a maskana, if he doesn't come to maskana, that is also considered Bittul Torah. One has to learn Torah in a way that he accomplishes. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, in a Sefer Cheshukei Chemed, discusses an important question. He says that there are people sitting and learning in a Beis Medrash, and there's somebody who comes in to collect staka, and he wants to ask people who are learning to help him raise money, to go around and collect with him staka. Is it appropriate? And he says, once we just learned our Gemara, that Bittul Torah, when somebody's being Mevatel Torah, that is considered the most significant sin. So as much as there's a chiyuv to do tzedaka, then of course the halacha is that you can't disturb the people who are learning to collect tzedaka. And he also adds that if those people who are learning are people who are members of a kollel, and they get paid to learn, and now if they're going to interrupt their learning to go collect tzedaka, he suggests that it may be considered a situation of gezel. It may be considered stealing. You're getting paid, so you have a job. While you have a job, you have to concentrate on doing your job. And if instead of concentrating on doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to start collecting tzedaka, he suggests that it may even be considered gezel. Amalei Abayla Rav Dima, Hai Kro, this pasuk b'marava b'mayim makmakasulei. How do we explain the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Al teitzel riv maher pen ma taseh bachrisa b'haklam oischa reecha rivecha rives reecha v'soy acha al togel." Says the Gemara, "B'shar shabal Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yecheskel." When Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, "Leich emor lehem Yisrael avicha amayri v'imcha chitus," he said that he spoke disparagingly about his parents, that your father's an amayri, your mother is a chitus. Amar Ruach Paskanus. The Ruach Paskanus is Gavriel. Amar Ruach Paskanus of Nakarish Baruchu. Gavriel says to Karish Baruchu, Banish Loilim. And Miva Avram and Sarah Vyamdul Fanecha. If Avram and Sarah will stand here, At the Oimelahem Amachlamasam, are you going to embarrass them and calling them Amar Yechiti? Rivcha Rives Reecha. If you have what to say to rebuke Klal Yisrael, say to them what you have to say. However, v'soid acher al togel, but don't embarrass Avram and Yitzchak, Avram and Sarah. In other words, what he said to him was that what we were saying that we emanate from Avram and Sarah, who were a chiti and an amayri. It says the Gemara, umis v'shus kolahai, and does Gavriel have the right to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a fashion? Answers the Gemara in. Dom Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Shalosh Shemesh Yeshloi. There are three, Gavriel is called by three names, Piskoin, Itmoin, and Sigroin. Piskoin, Shepaisik, Tvarim Klapti Mali, he speaks strongly towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Itmoin, Shoitmoin Avin Hasayim Shal Yisrael, that he covers up the Averis of Klal Yisrael. And Sigroin, Kivin Shesigroin, Shuv Ena Paisech. Once Gavriel attempts to represent and defend Klal Yisrael, nobody disagrees with him. And as the Maral explains, the reason the Malach Gavriel has such extraordinary power, because as we're learning here, Gavriel's job is to be Melamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael, And somebody who is Malamed Zchus, somebody who speaks so positively about Klal Yisrael, there is no Malach in Shemayim that could dispute that. The Pasuk says in Iyev, Hayarach Shruach Loi Betzar, V'chol Mamatzei Koyach. And the Pasuk means, did you daven before the problem came? Did you daven that it should not come? I'm Rabbi Lezer. From here we learn, Lo'olam Yagdim Adam Tfilah L'Tzara. A person should daven before the Tzara comes. Shemala Higdim Avram Tfilah L'Tzara Bein Beisa El Bein Ai. If not, that Avram Avinu had davened Bein Beisa El Ail, and the Klal Yisrael would have the sin that we've been discussing, the sin of Achorn. Because of that sin, Lo'y Nishtayim Sunen She'isor Sarah Tepalit. The only reason Klal Yisrael was able to survive was because Avraham Avinu was mispal for us already hundreds of years before, and that zchus helped us. Rav Shlokh Shemakala Amitz Atzma B'Tfila L'mata. Somebody who puts much effort in his tefillah in this world, Ein Lo Tzar Malmala, the Malachim will not say anything bad about his tefillah. Rav Yochanan Levakish Adam Rachmim Sheikol Mamatzim Es Koichoi. Somebody, we should always daven that all the malachim should help us be mispalel, because ayet tzarim lamala, that he shouldn't have anybody saying anything negative about him in the next world. And this is the basis for a very famous discussion in halacha. The poskim discuss, is it appropriate to daven in a way that we're turning to the malachim to help us? We know that during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, during the Slichas, one of the famous Slichas is Malachei Rachmei Meshar Se'elyon, Chalu No Pnei Keil B'Meitiv Higoyon. We ask the Malachim to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ula Yochas Amoni Ve'evyon Ula Yirachim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Rachmanos on us. And a most famous tefillah is that we say, Machnisei Rachmim, Hachnisu Rachameinu, Hachnisu Demaseinu. And the question is this appropriate? Some say that from our Gemara, it's appropriate to daven this way, that the Malachim should help us. The Chasam Sofer, on the contrary, felt that it was inappropriate. And that's why the Chasam Sofer, when he would daven, he would take a long time in saying Tachnun. So he should not come to have that, he should not have the chance, he should run out of time before he said, Machnisei Rachman. That those that that differentiate between Tefillah B'Tzibur and Tefillah B'Yechidus. Tefillah B'Yechidus, we should turn to Malachim. Tefillah B'Tzibur, we don't need Malachim. But the Rabbi Huda Asad clearly indicates from our Gemara that we see from our Gemara that it is appropriate, it is all right to ask for help from the Malachim. The Sefer Arve Nachal says, what pshat when our Gemara says, La'olam yagdim tefillah l'tzara, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for us is that we should be machni ourselves, that we should subject ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we act in such a way, then at that point, Yagdim Adam Tefillah B'Tzara, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that that's the way we act, that's the point HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that our tefillah, that whatever Hashem expects from us is going to be accepted, and at that point, then it will be fine. And that's why I saw that the Sifsei Chaim explains what's pshat in Ma'amitz Atzmai B'Tfilah. A person should realize how important tefillah is. When a person realizes and recognizes the importance of tefillah, at that point, the tefillah will be helpful. We learned in the Mishnah Menayin Shekipalai Viduyev, how do we know the vidui helps? Tanar Abana Menayin Shekipalai Viduyev, how do we know that the vidui that Achon expressed was helpful? And what the pshat in the pasuk is, at this point you're considered separated from Klal Yisrael. However, V'yata ochel olam haba. That won't remain for olam haba. V'ksiv, u'b'nei zorach, zimri, v'esa, v'hemol, v'chalko, v'darda, kulam chamisha. Pasuk d'vrei yomim. My kulam chamisha, says the Gemara, kulam chamisha hein olam haba. Achan is going to have olam haba. Ask the Gemara, in d'vrei yomim, on one hand, it's called ksiv zimri, and another place it's called Achan. So what was his name? Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel to Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Charama Ochan Shmai. His real name was Ochan. V'lam Nikra Shmai Zimra. Shasa Masa Zimra. As we learned before, that he did all the averas of the Torah, including the avera of adultery, which was the avera that we know Zimri did. The Charama Zimri Shmai. V'lam Nikra Shmai Ochan. She Ikein. Of an same shall Yisrael, he caused that Hakadosh Baruch Hu should remember the averus of Klal Yisrael. Others explain why why does the Gemara pick out this avera, Shasa Masa Zimra, because we learned earlier in our shir that what Achan did was that Achan Moshech Bar Losai, he tried to remove his bris milah, and the Gemara says that Aboy Laramis, if somebody has relations with a non-Jewish woman, it's like he was Moshech Arlosai. It's like he removed his bris milah. Therefore, the avera that Achan did is most related to the avera of Zimri. In any day of Sadis, we learned further in the Mishnah, if this person doesn't know how to say vidui, we say tehei misasi kapara kavanaisai. Rabbi Yehuda says, if this person knows that he's really innocent, then he should say tehei misasi kapara kol avanaisai chutz me avanazeh. Says the Gemara, if that becomes an acceptable statement, so everybody's going to say it lenakas atzmai. Says the Gemara, so if a person wants to establish his innocence, what's wrong? V'yanaka atzmai, why don't we give him an opportunity to clear his name? Says the Gemara, because by that we're concerned. We don't want to see that the batei dinim that there's going to be questions about what they do. There was a person that was being taken out to Faskila. Omar, if I indeed committed this crime, if I don't have the sin, I'm meichel them for taking me out to be killed improperly. But he also said that the Edom who said testimony against me should never have any forgiveness. We can't reverse this. There was already a verdict. Eli Yehorig, let him be killed. And if it turns out that what he's saying is correct, the Edom will be held responsible for what I did. Says the Gemara Pshita. Of course the halacha is that once there was a verdict, it can't be reversed. Kol kibinei, can somebody reverse the verdict because he claims that the Edom said something not true? Says the Gemara Letzricha, the case is the Kohadri Beseidi, that the Edom also reversed himself. Ask the Gemara, V'chiadri Mehavi, can Edom reverse themselves? Isn't there a halacha that kivin shehigit shuvei nechayzer magid? Once Edom said something, they can't reverse themselves. Says not only are they reversing themselves, but they're giving a reason why they did what they did. It doesn't make a difference once they said their edus kivin shehigit shuvei nechayzer umagid. The halacha is that it can't reverse themselves. There are situations that we know the halacha says that eid echad naman, that we could trust one aid. And the question that the achronim discuss is we're learning now that there's a halacha of kivin shigit shuvei nechayzer magid. The question is, do we say kivin shigit shuvei nechayzer magid even by eid echad? And it's a very fundamental question. But the question is, when the halacha says, under the circumstances, that we accept the testimony of an eid echad, how is that to be understood? Is that to be understood that it's a din in eidus? If it's a din in eidus, So by Eidus we just learned there's a halacha of kivin she'egid, shuv ein achayzer u'magid. But if it's understood not as a din in Eidus, but rather it's understood that there's a special halacha for certain circumstances, to certain point, eid echad is neman. But it's not that he's an aid. So if he's not an aid, the halacha of kivin she'egid shuv ein achayzer u'magid would not be applicable, and therefore he would maybe be allowed to reverse his testimony.